Good morning. Today is Wednesday, 27th of September. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor and Chairman of the Board and noted microphone twiddler, Steve Madrone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. And good morning to your listeners.
Go ahead, keep wiggling it. We got a little sound effect thing going on there. You ready for your question this morning?
Always. I never get them, but
that's all right. Well, it's a new book. It's a new day, baby. New day.
That. Yeah, is that that's a red book? Is that Chairman Mao or no?
It's not that red. This is ketchup red. Okay, smart guy.
Ketchup red.
Yeah.
I know. I see my jar here.
Back it down. Back it down.
To report that gift.
Yeah. Why is a private detective called a private eye?
Wow. Let's see. Gosh, I don't know. Let's go for it.
In 1850, the Pinkerton Detective Agency opened in Chicago with the slogan, "We Never Sleep," and its symbol was a large, wide-open eye. Pinkerton was very effective, and criminals began calling the feared operation the Eye. Raymond Chandler and other fiction writers in the 1930s and 40s simply embellished the underworld expression by introducing private eye as a description for any private investigator.
Well, it sounds good.
It's almost like logical.
Well, it brings new meaning to it. You remember the... what was it, the Arcata Eye?
Yeah.
Kevin Hoover
and
the gang over there. They had the every week they would have somebody's eye of the union, you know? So
yeah, the Arcata Union, the Hadleys.
Yeah, Judy.
Do we sound old? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because half the audience is like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. And if anybody knows this, yeah, I think we both are qualifying now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, what's the status of the reports out of the... auditor controller now, Alicia. Oh boy, three weeks ago, was saying that things were coming along very, very quickly.
Absolutely,
and everybody was kind of breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit better knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah,
what's your read on that?
Kind of nice to have accurate figures, you know, when you're planning your budget and moving forward. But basically, Cheryl Dillingham and the incredible staff in that office, along with other departments. Efforts have basically, they're closing 3 years in 1 year, right? So bringing it all up to snuff, and within another 6 months or so, we're going to be all caught up. So very exciting to be getting to that place and knowing what kind of funds we actually have. It doesn't change the fact that we have a big deficit.
That's why I was wondering, is it verifying where things are?
Pretty much.
Obviously, it's clarifying.
Yeah.
But was the guesstimate pretty close?
I kept hoping, you know, that there's some sort of like $10 million pot that somebody had to put a wrong zero on or something.
Yeah, transposed a couple figures somewhere.
Yeah, but no, not that I'm hearing. But it is going to allow us to really, you know, more responsibly manage that budget.
Well, if there's confidence, at least in the numbers, then you can go off of that rather than
absolutely
still uncertainty.
Yeah, you bet.
What are you hearing out of the state? Are they... Some of the other folks, like education, was talking about there may be some take-backs. Mm-hmm. I think that's the magic phrase these days. Mm-hmm. Instead of not honoring your commitment, it's a take-back.
Yeah.
Grants. Sorry, I'm taking that candy bar back.
Grants that were awarded but haven't been spent, haven't started, that kind of thing. I'm hearing some of that, but I also heard that the numbers weren't quite as bad as they had thought they were going to be. But I don't have the details on that.
Well, that was speculative. Still is, because the income taxes aren't due until middle of October,
so it's
kind of the shot in the dark anyway.
It is, but based on a lot of experience, you know, they're able to get pretty close.
Yeah, some trends. Yeah. Are you concerned about the fact that California's going to have 5 less congressmen this year because of the population leaving?
Yeah, you know, would we have ever thought we'd see that in our lifetimes, right, where California would actually go down in population? You know, I don't know. The House of Representatives is certainly a real cabal right now in terms of how they're operating.
Life.
No matter which side of the aisle you're on.
Operating is an interesting term. That implies motion and activity.
Yeah. So that's quite the mess, it would appear, right now. And, you know, the shutdown, we're back in that place again, which seems like every year lately we've had these shutdowns being threatened.
I've heard, what is it, continuing resolution?
Yes.
Is that what?
Yeah. For a month or whatever they do.
Last 24... Was it 24 years or 24 months? that's all that it's been.
That's it.
Just push, push,
we've never
push,
really
push,
adopted
push.
A budget, yeah.
I think it was 24 years,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is, it was huge. Stunning to me.
The scariest part is actually that China owns this country. If you look at the debt, if they called in that debt, we would be in a world of hurt, wouldn't we? A lot of people, I don't think, realize that the spending that we've been doing has actually put us in quite a uncomfortable place in terms of other people really owning the country, so to speak.
Well, and you talk about the environmental pollution, where it's sourced out of.
Yeah.
You know, what is it, 7 times China? India's 5 times?
Yeah.
America? I mean...
Yeah, a lot of coal plants.
Well, and...
And other things.
The concrete, plastics and stuff.
Concrete manufacturing and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Just... It's an interesting time we find ourselves in.
It is, and yet we always say that, right? But
yeah,
no, this is more interesting.
I think there's just more recognition.
That's the thing. There's so much more media, you know, things.
Or the instant access with the internet. Do you find that that's been problematic, either as an individual district representative or as one of the 5, that this amount of information and then speculation off of partial information has kind of gummed up the works a little bit?
Well, I certainly see that potential, and I see a lot of people really kind of, you know, struggling underneath that, no doubt, as a community or as a public at large. But for myself, I try to stay really focused. You know, I see that all as noise. It's just a lot of noise. And I just shut out that noise. I sit down, I look at what are my priorities, what am I working on, what are my constituents asking me to get done, and I just, you know, double down on that, and that works for me.
I think the source of a lot of those questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have, not that Papstein's perfect world is any kind of panacea, but like the press releases or the news releases that used to come out on these things called fax machines.
Right. Yeah, what's that?
All of those become available for folks rather than getting into the minutiae and the detail and the laboriousness of everything else.
Yeah.
I would have thought that might have accomplished an awful lot of the same goals.
You would hope so, yeah.
But in a more routine area so that you're not having to chase this stuff down.
Absolutely. No, stay focused, folks.
And stay for the commercials. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. So, Steve, we see some of these changing elements. One of the aspects that I don't think people really grasp is the changing congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Mike Thompson was here, our district was significantly different.
Yeah.
Gerrymander, I think, is probably the easiest way, even though not intended to have the negative connotations that it did initially.
Certainly.
But when there's new areas that are represented or represented areas become somebody else's, things change.
Yeah, they do.
They just change.
Sure.
Is that a concern that as we see this activity change, that either it's going to be the new area gets the additional attention,
mm-hmm.
and those of us in the more familiar places often get overlooked?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that a concern for you as we look into the future here as things change? Or conversely,
mm-hmm.
I suspect Humboldt County is going to be growing 15-20% over the next 5 to 10 years because of the climate refugee.
Well, and if the jobs come through from all these things that are in the works, that absolutely will have an effect. And if we can, in fact, build the housing, we need to be able to do all that.
And insure it.
Yes. And ensure it. Well, you know, Senator McGuire is going to term out and Assemblyman Wood in 3 years. And there's talk, I think even on his website, I've heard that he's probably going to go towards insurance commissioner.
That seems to be like the secret that is not a secret.
Right, absolutely. And I can imagine that he would actually start solving some of these problems. I mean, he's a real, as you know, a spark plug. He's a go-getter. He's connected. He's powerful. I like him a lot. And I am hopeful, you know, this fire and fuels task force that we have at the state is talking a lot about insurance, obviously, because this is a really, really
It's going to grab everybody sometime in the next 12 months.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a lot going on there. You know, but for me in my role, I don't really sit around thinking about that stuff very much.
Well, that's why
I'm dealing with what's here right now.
Well, that's what I was wondering as, I guess, what, it kicked in about a month and a half ago, the fire insurance?
Mm-hmm.
So now 10% of your constituency has now been impacted.
Yes.
And
a lot of it's growing every day.
Yeah. Every month it's going to be more and more and more and more. At what point do you say, okay, this is enough of a local issue?
Yeah.
I got to go rattle some cages at the state and get some action going, not necessarily as the chair, but as,
as a
supervisor.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if the others are all on board too, then you have a united front. And say, look, this and gas, I guess, are the two things that are just drilling us.
When your fire insurance goes from $800 a month to $8,000 a month, or I'm sorry, $8,000 a year, it's like another mortgage payment. People just can't afford it, right?
Right.
So if you're losing your insurance,
all
of those things.
Well, you got those two elements. And it's...
So what I'm doing in my district is working with communities to become more prepared for disaster, you know, because there's insurance that helps deal with if you lose stuff. But then there is the preparation up front to make sure you don't lose stuff, right? And that's something that is within our hands to deal with.
Yeah, to deal with the situation
city
itself.
City of Trinidad, it's a very small city limit area, right? But they have very much so in the last 10, 15 years recognized the role they play in that whole area from Little River to Big Lagoon, right? They're really bigger than the city limits in terms of how they can help their community.
Area
and they've been
of
doing
influence,
that.
Isn't that...
Yeah. Well, it is a sphere of influence for certain, but it's even bigger than that. And so they opened up the town hall last winter, for instance, when the windstorms took out electricity for weeks at a time and all the other things were going on. But they're forming a CERT, which is an incredible process of getting community members trained to be able to help respond in emergencies. And then outside of that core of the CERT that the city is going to be organizing, in my neighborhood, we're doing a NEST, or a Neighborhood Emergency Support Team. And we have worked with Green Diamond Resource Company to develop an emergency evacuation route because we're a dead-end road, right? And so there are a lot of things that communities can do to better prepare themselves to, number one, prevent the problems from happening by doing the fuel reduction work. There's a lot of money out there. I'm working in my neighborhood to do significant forest thinning and fuel reduction work and other kinds of things, and then have a plan. What is your response to an emergency going to be? And, you know, in my area, fires do burn, but it's been like once in 100 years. So it's not going to happen all the time, but you got to be prepared for it.
And that makes a ton of sense.
It does.
And I think everybody's there.
Those are things within our control.
But if you have a mortgage, you have to have you have to have the insurance.
That's right.
And if it's not there, I mean, you can clear cut everything down so there's never going to be a fire and it's not going to matter because you're not going to be living there.
Well, there's this so-called FAIR plan, right, at the state.
Oh, yeah, the 2.5-time multiplier.
Yeah, 10-time multiplier.
I don't know who it's fair for.
It's shocking.
Maybe that's instead of income tax at the state,
it is shocking.
It's really not an option.
Yeah. My best advice is if you have insurance and it hasn't gone up and you get a notice from the company saying, hey, it's been a while since we've evaluated. Would you like us to come out? And no, we're good.
You don't bring the regulators home.
No, no matter what changes you think you might need or not now, I would say just hold your ground right now.
But it's even the renewals, the annual renewals are getting pulled.
Some of them are, in certain
ways.
I hear Sunnybrae is, you know, people are ending up losing their insurance in Sunnybrae.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's because there's a forest right there behind it. And so they're basing it on these, you know, Paradise fires, the Car fire, all these other really catastrophic things. And insurance companies, I guess, were, you know, threatened with losing money. And so, you know, things are going to change.
Or maybe PG&E will be paying attention?
Yeah, there's a lot of undergrounding that needs to happen and all those kinds of things, absolutely.
Yeah, did you get the note from PG&E? Are you guys at PG&E?
Yeah, about the rates.
Yeah, for your benefit, your rates are going to go up. Right. Gee, thanks.
Right. But in the meantime, you know, the fire starts are what? Lightning, power lines going down, and roadside vegetation. And
dragging chains.
Dragging
that
chains,
seems to be a big
cigarettes.
Too. Yeah.
That's something we can actually do something about, but we got to rebuild our road department to do it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. We are coming up, I guess, fiscal year for many.
Yes.
As you look at the overall fiscal condition, some of the reports, you know, you guys get the sales tax dollars, you get the gas tax dollars reports and all that kind of
right.
Housing sales.
TOT.
Yeah. What kind of sense do you have of where we are?
I'd say I think we're at the bottom, and there's nowhere to go but up. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of downturn and a lot of things, but there's a lot of promising stuff going on for Humboldt, and we have a lot of housing needs, and that's also jobs, right? So, you know, we're actively trying to figure out how to incentivize that, how to make it easier. Of course, all the state requirements added to housing has not made it easier in terms of the cost and all that, but you know, it's just a matter of trying to put one foot in front of the next. And I believe that within the next 5-10 years, we're going to see an amazing economy in Humboldt County on many levels. And that's what we're working on right now.
Are we at a spot, Steve, structurally, where there's space for creativity?
I believe there is. I think the housing element that we adopted 2 years ago shows that. And a lot of the other elements that we're working on to try and, you know, free up housing and make it you know, incentivize the ability to be able to do that. We have a long way to go to get that really functioning. But I think we're making good progress in that area.
I sense, just talking in the neighborhood, so to speak, that land use issues are becoming more and more understood and more of interest.
Certainly.
Whether it's housing, you know, these ADUs that are now in the Grand mother-in-law units. I was going to say grandma units, but that's probably not right.
You're really showing yourself.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, I have a different definition. Yeah, that's called the attic. No, it's not. Okay.
Right.
But that there's this understanding now that some of these things that we haven't paid attention to for 30 or 40 years is just general citizens. They do have impact.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And, you know, land use is not a dirty word, right? I mean, we do, as a society, have to kind of decide what our priorities are and how we're going to manage for that to keep a high quality of living, to look out for our children, our grandchildren that are coming behind us and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's interesting to look at the makeup of the Board of Supervisors right now. 3 out of 5 of those members have tremendous land use planning expertise. I would also say that somebody like...
I'm laughing. The old, was it Laurel and Hardy that had the makeup routine?
Yeah.
Makeup and
here it comes. Pie in the face.
Yeah, you said makeup.
I would submit to you that, you know, Michelle also, I mean, as a ranching family...
Oh, she knows about
I would
land.
Say ranching families have always been embedded in land use.
Yes.
And all that. I mean, they were the original ones to do storage and forbearance. We hear about that in terms of water. They were building ponds all over their land, you know, because they knew that's what they needed
they
to
needed
make it,
it
through the summer, you know, and stuff. But previous boards were put in there more for political purposes, I would submit to you. And they didn't come to the board with a lot of land use planning expertise or experience. And I think we saw how that panned out in a lot of different ways. So, you know, not to say that somebody that's trained in land use like myself or others somehow has God's gift of, you know, knowing how to make everything work. But I do think understanding the principles of land use planning and how to incentivize what it is we're looking to do. I mean, that's how you do it. If you want to make something
that's
happen.
That's business. It is.
You know, people
business,
say, yeah. Well, why should they get a subsidy? And I say, every business gets subsidies. Every business.
Oh, you don't even have to say they business, man. Everybody.
Everybody
own
gets
a home,
subsidies.
You got a subsidy.
Absolutely.
For the tax
absolutely.
Benefits.
And really,
yeah.
as a society, the question is, what is it we want to subsidize? What are we looking for in our futures and our children's futures? And how do we provide incentives in the permit system, in the tax structure, and things like that to actually get that to occur? You know, and that's the beauty of understanding economics and land use planning and how we as human beings react to things. We react to incentives. You know, if it's going to make sense for us and put more money in our wallet, we're going to do it, right?
So pain avoidance or pleasure attraction.
It's not
yeah.
complicated stuff, right? So.
Well, we tend to make it that way.
We do make it very act like it's some voodoo science or something, you know.
Well, or we plead ignorance.
Yeah.
And we don't recognize that it's in our life already.
What was it? The trickle down, you know, and all the things we've heard over the last 20 years.
All trying to say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's And I suspect that that's probably a big challenge.
Yeah.
For a lot of folks also.
Certainly.
You get that initial understanding.
Yeah.
And then you start to see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then go, okay. Going here, going there, that kind of thing.
Great example. So yesterday in the Mad River Union, there was an article by Alex Stillman, a council member from Arcata. He's been on the council multiple times, been around a long time, like you and I.
Yeah, great. Bring that one up
her.
Again.
Like,
no.
We're old guys
we
here.
Keep coming back to that age reference, though. Thanks.
But she was talking about how maybe McKinleyville and Arcata should be combined and create some big super city, and that would create all this and that. You know, the McKinleyville people are like, no, thank you. You know, we like McKinleyville. We don't want to become Arcata and vice versa, I think. But McKinleyville, you know, is looking at incorporation, not that we're saying it should, but there's never been the factual data collected to be able to help people make that decision about what it looks like to do that and would it be something of benefit to have more local control. Because right now they just have one guy, you know, me, and one guy on the planning commission.
Where is the services lady. District, though? Isn't that?
Service district wants to make sure that they continue to operate because I would submit, and I said this often, I think they're one of the best CSDs in the state, you know, but I'm biased, obviously. But they do an amazing job with managing sewer, water, parks, and streetlights.
So a lot of the governmental functions that we think of as a traditional city are being handled by the CSD.
They are, and that could become a public works department in a new city, or it could continue to operate as a CSD within a city. The new city could hire the sheriff, just like Blue Lake and Trinidad
right,
do.
Right, contract out.
Or
yeah.
eventually they could create their own police department. McKinleyville, what is it, two-thirds, you know, half or more of the roads are gravel, private roads, you know. And when you bring up this idea of incorporation, a lot of people immediately say, oh, my taxes are going to go up. And I always say, you know, only if you vote to raise the taxes. Nobody does that to you. And if you thought that it might give you better police services or better roads or whatever, you might support that. So it's
if
not
gas
a done
prices
deal.
Go down.
Yes. Yeah. Back to that one. Right.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with 5th District Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept of a city, McKinleyville decides that they want it, they take the vote. That is, creation is different than annexation.
Yes.
What is the process of creating a new city? Because I don't think, we have nine? Seven or nine?
On LAFCO?
In Humboldt County. Cities,
yeah.
I don't think anybody's been around since there's been a creation of a city.
Six, seven, I think.
Is it seven? Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? Well, and what does it take?
Well, and statewide, that's true, too. There have been very little new incorporations over the last, 10, 15 years. And that was because of the maybe 20 years, the revenue neutrality laws that got created when, what was it, Lemon Heights next to Sacramento wanted to incorporate, and the city of Sacramento or the county of Sacramento was like, no way, you're not going to do that. So they created this revenue neutrality law that basically says when you incorporate, you still have to make the county whole. You can't.
So that's similar to annexation then.
It is in that sense. You know, basically the incorporation cannot cause damage to the financial structure of the county. But in the case of McKinleyville, clearly a city could run itself more efficiently than a county can run a city. And that's what we're doing right now. McKinleyville is a city. Whether or not we call it that or not, it is a city. It's 17,000 people, et cetera. And so it may very well be in the best interest of the county to actually assist the city with forming and being created.
How much of the county functions are county-based rather than city-based? Public works, for example.
Well, public
works.
You
got public works in the county, and then you got public works, or whatever they would call it, within the cities, and the county kind of fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
Well, if McKinleyville was taken out, mm-hmm. and let's say really got crazy and Fieldbrook was included too.
Yeah. Well, it
what
won't.
I know. What is that?
Nor would Dowse Prairie probably.
Wouldn't go that far?
It's probably kind of like a Myrtletown situation.
Okay, just
even
adjacent.
Less than that. It's no retail out in Dowse Prairie.
True.
And people that are in those more rural parts on the outskirts of McKinleyville, they don't want to be part of it.
They want to be rural.
Yeah, they want to stay rural. So just to, you know, help with any fears about that, more than likely, if it ever happens, which will be ultimately up to the residents of that area when it goes to a vote, more than likely, it will just incorporate the concentrated areas of what we think of as McKinleyville, which is basically the CSD's, you know, boundaries where they provide sewer and water and those kinds of things.
So what does that do to the county finances?
You know, so that's what we've never known. So whenever this issue comes up, everybody starts firing off in one side or the other without really understanding the knowledge or having the facts. So, you know, and a lot of people were upset that we went to Cal Poly Humboldt to help us renew the study that was done 21 years ago with fresh data. And there was this assumption, oh, Cal Poly is trying to tell McKinleyville what to do. No, that's not what happened.
Really? There was conspiracy already?
We went to Cal Poly and said, could you, as professors and students, help us combine and compile, you know, fresh data? Because if we can get that fresh data on total revenues that the county's spending in the area and total expenses that the county's spending in the area, then the voters will be able to have a factual basis to be able to have an informed discussion about what it means to incorporate and what the financial aspects of that look like, right? So that's all we're really trying to do. And the process is that ultimately, we need to raise about probably $80,000 or so to work with LAFCO to hire a third-party consultant who would do a very detailed financial analysis, feasibility analysis of incorporation. And I have no doubt it's physically and financially possible. But whatever, that report will ultimately look at that in great detail. And if it is determined that it's financially feasible, then the issue of revenue neutrality, is it 50-50, is it 30, you know, 70, what is it going to be, has to get worked out. And then if it all looks good, then it goes to the voters. And the voters will decide, you know, a majority of the voters have to say yes. And then it...
Well, I would think, if is it an overlay over the community services district?
Or do you
kind of avoid the middle of Harrison Avenue syndrome?
Right.
And have it kind of
Blue Lake Boulevard, same thing.
Makes sense.
Split down the middle.
If the
listeners don't know what Brian's talking about there, it's, you know, who paves this half of the road, who paves the other half of the road?
Historical stuff. Harrison is the
one. I don't think we'll have any of that in McKinleyville because we're not really dealing with that kind of a situation. And I think it's going to be pretty straightforward as far as the boundaries. It's probably not going to include the ranch lands in the southwest corner, for instance, you know, on the north side of the river.
Up on the bluff.
Or Dowse Prairie, or, you know, up on the top of Murray Road as you're heading out to Fieldbrook. Definitely.
So what
not.
Would happen if the airport was in?
Well, it would be in, probably. You know, it's, you know, that end of McKinleyville has significant housing all the way down to Clam Beach. In fact, there's some serious septic failure
issues,
systems in that area up there from clay hardpans and other issues in the soils. But more than likely, that would be included. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity around the airport with the way it's been growing. We're doing a whole new parking lot. There's opportunities on county property at the airport to build more lodging, hotels, as well as on Steve Mosier's airport business
there.
Park that is not filled out and will. You know, and as those things happen, as we build the Vista Point Park out on the highway that allows people to get off if they're going north, right now you can't.
I would think that starts bringing the revenue in, then it becomes maybe more financially viable to consider this.
Because if you look at retail in McKinleyville, mom and pop start up, 2 years later they die because, you know, we're trying
Nobody's there during the retail hours.
Well, we're trying to live off of, bedroom community income, and that never really works to support a vibrant retail industry. So McKinleyville is really the only town in all of Humboldt that doesn't attract the tourism industry. Six Rivers Brewery does, but not the town. It's just not a thing at Christmas time for people to say, hey, let's go shopping in McKinleyville, you know? But it could be with a build-out of the airport business park, with the Vista Point Park pulling visitors off the highway into town.
The shopping center's already got spots.
With the shopping center, with the town center ordinance happening and working with Ann Pearson on her vision for all that, with the new senior housing happening with Life Plan Humboldt, and we are up. There's a
of course you're not going to go buy a senior for Christmas.
No, you're not. But you know, we have a real need for senior housing, and these are some really creative and innovative projects that are happening. The point is, McKinleyville is on the verge of some really amazing things happening that's going to increase options for people for shopping that live there, as well as others coming in with their income to support those jobs. Once we get more jobs and more retail in McKinleyville, then we can build a transit there because it becomes more concentrated and you can have all those kinds of amenities.
Things start to happen.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
I think it's going to be a bright future for McKinleyville and Humboldt County. Hang in there, folks.
Don't make too much stuff happen today, okay?
Yeah, not today, right.
See everybody tomorrow.